It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
What a wonderful day it is, and what a wonderful time to say that it is a good life living for the Lord. It's the best life, living for the Lord, trusting Him as Savior. Well, in Galatians chapter 2, we're going to read from that and look at some other verses today. Paul is speaking here in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, where it says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, now, we can be identified with Christ in many different ways during our lifetime as Christians, but Paul brings it home here when he says, I am crucified with Christ. That we can exhibit Christ in our lives in many ways, but today we want to look at this subject of being like Christ, being identified with him. Well, Paul the Apostle was possibly a person who suffered more than any other person in this world, with the exception of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul suffered, but yet he said, I am crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live. And as we look at this, I've been crucified with Christ. As we look at this, let's keep in mind that Paul himself was a human being. He was the one who received Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. He had a personal encounter with our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you need a personal encounter today with the Lord if you've never met him, if you've never trusted him as your Savior. Now, it may not be the same as what Paul the Apostle did, and in fact, it won't be. There was one time, and that was one time only that happened with Paul the Apostle. But you need to meet him today. Meet him at the cross, realizing you're lost, you can't save yourself, and you need him as your Savior. Ask him into your heart today. Trust him to save you. Well, today we want to look at this, and did you know that we're all human beings? Did you know that I'm a human being, and sometimes I do make a mistake? And you're human as well, and we all make mistakes, but thank God he is faithful and just to forgive us of anything that we do that would not bring honor and glory to him. Now, it doesn't excuse that, but if we've asked him into our hearts, we're his children, and just as your earthly father overlooks the mistakes that you do, our heavenly father will overlook those mistakes as well, and the mistakes we make in this life. In fact, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we need to go to him on occasion and say, Father, forgive me, for I've made a mistake and I've done something wrong. And I ask you, Father, that to lead me and guide me. And Father, thank you for saving me. Well, as we need to do that, and we need to draw close to the Lord every day. According to John Bunyan, the author of Pilgrim's Progress, he said, the school of the cross is the school of light. And I see also that, you know, I understand that the Christian life begins at the cross of Christ, and Christians experience and develop life by associating with the cross of Christ. A person must come to the cross. They are drawn by the Lord, the Holy Spirit. They are brought there, and they kneel before the cross, and they see Jesus hanging there, and they know that he died for them. Now, we know that Jesus is not still on the cross, but as a person comes to Jesus, they must realize that, yes, he did die on that cross, and yes, he was brought down from that cross, and his blood was shed. He went to the grave, but thank God he rose on that third day, and thank God that his blood covers the sin of those people who will trust him as Lord and Savior. And it not only covers, it does away with it. It's gone. That sin is gone forever. Well, a person comes to the cross. They see Jesus. They understand that he died for them. They understand that he rose from the grave, that he is the Son of God, and that he's able to save them. And they say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior. Well, notice something with me, if you would, in Galatians chapter 2. And I've already mentioned the fact we'll be looking in several verses today. Notice in chapter 2, Christ crucified for us. Jesus came to pay a debt that he didn't owe, because we owed a debt we couldn't pay. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it says, the wages of sin is death. Well, Jesus died. He gave his life. He paid the sin debt for us. We couldn't pay that debt. We could never pay that debt, but Jesus paid the debt. Now, he who knew no sin died to pay that debt. He who did no wrong died for us. He died for you that you could have eternal life. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. The curse of the law is that everyone is guilty before an all-righteous God. All have sinned and come short, according to Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, it says this, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Christ became a substitutionary sacrifice. The truth of substitution is revealed in Christ. Christ took the place of the sinner in the experience of the cross. And there is no better illustration of a substitutionary sacrifice than in Christ Jesus. Well, notice something else that I've noticed in these verses in Galatians chapter 2. Christ crucified among us. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Now, notice that the doctrine of proclamation is revealed in this verse, and nothing should rob us of the glory of the cross of Christ. Now, we often hold back and not tell others about Jesus because we're afraid to offend. But I say to you today that the proclamation of Jesus Christ, proclaiming him, is the greatest honor that a person could have in this life, of sharing Jesus with those around them. Well, the cross cannot be defeated, for it is defeat. The cross of Christ cannot be defeated by science. The cross of Christ cannot be defeated by human reasoning. The cross of Christ cannot be defeated by false prophets. The cross of Christ cannot be defeated by this world. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the cross of Christ. As we charge forward, looking unto the author and finisher of our faith. And I would also have you to know that the cross cannot be defeated, for it is defeat. The cross of Christ defeats death. The cross of Christ defeats the grave. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 55, the Bible says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57 says, But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the cross not only defeats death and the grave, but the cross of Christ defeats the devil. The cross of Christ defeats the flesh. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 15 through 52, the Bible says this, Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. And verse 51 goes on to say, Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Well, of course, this is speaking to the Christian, the person who has trusted Jesus Christ. We'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Well, meeting Christ at the cross is the beginning of the Christian experience. At the cross is the beginning of discipleship, and one day we'll see him. We'll be with him. These bodies that we're in right now will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll be forever with the Lord. Well, something else I see about the cross of Christ is being crucified with him. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, once again it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, the message of identification is stressed in this verse, in Galatians 2:20. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 11, it says, Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. When he died, I died with him. And I would have you to know that union brings communion. We can have communion with God today because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and because we count ourselves as being dead with him. When 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, it says this, Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Well, as Christians, we need to identify ourselves with Christ. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, it says this, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. We need today men of the cross, women of the cross, with the message of the cross, bearing the marks of the cross. We need to carry on the message that Jesus died for sinners. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 once again says, I am crucified with Christ. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24, we read about the flesh. And they that are of Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. It doesn't say that you're going to be perfect. It simply says that you recognize that you are no longer yours, but you belong to the Lord. And to the best of your ability and through the power of God, you're going to live for him and you're going to do what is necessary to bring honor and glory to him. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24, it talks about the flesh. And the flesh here is meant the self-life. Here, the Christly life must hold sway over the self-life. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, it says, Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We should not go around looking for something to get into, some trouble to get into, but we should look to the Lord and trust him to deliver us. Dead to the old, the Christian is to live, to be alive to the new. Are you living for him today? Are you serving Christ today as a Christian? If not, you need to come to him today and confess that sin and say, Lord, forgive me. I've sinned. And I know your word says that if I confess that sin, you're faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness, not to be saved again, Lord, because I'll be saved forever. But Lord, that the joy, the fellowship with you would be restored, that I can serve you with a gladness of heart. Thank you, Lord, for saving me.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.